pure cussed stubbornness. She is an unreasonable woman. God bless her. Unreasonable women may yet save the world. So she really got it.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I think when you're raised in Texas, if you're going against Tide, that's one thing you get, and that's the muscle you really get in spades, is that darn cussedness. You do.
And she also said what's completely true. It says, but Wilson's descriptions of the beauty of that poor broken bay, which is your home, that poor broken bay just rip at your heart.
Yeah.
And that is true. There's so much rudeness on the part of humans that you've stood up to, and that Molly Ivins always also stood up to as well. And then she mentions also, on the other hand, on October 6th of last year, there was an explosion at the Formosa plant at Seadrift. 11 workers were hospitalized, and it goes on about your influence. And so, yeah, that's great. And so Molly then called you up, right?
Yeah, she, like I said, she called me up, and I was, at that time, I was wanted by the state of Texas. They wanted me to show up in jail, and the thing was, I had been fighting against Union Carbide, and their CEO had a warrant after him for 9 years, and I said, well, you go arrest him, and then I'll go to jail. I said, I don't mind going to jail if he goes to jail. And so I was deliberately staying out, and matter of fact, I even started looking for that CEO myself, since the FBI said they couldn't find him, so I found him twice.
I love that. You actually went to his house, right, in Long Island.
I went to his house, and then I went to his house in Florida, and then I went to his golf course. I think the FBI needs to hire me. If their fellas aren't any good or better than that they can't find him, because I sure could do it. And that was and so Molly was trying to get a hold of me, but like I said, the minute I stepped back in Texas, I was going to jail. So.
And you did.
Oh, I most certainly did. I went to the Dick Cheney fundraiser with Tom DeLay. I went in as a dead Republican woman, and and I managed to get in and got arrested there and thrown in the Harris County Jail. And then they saw that I had a warrant for my arrest, so I got slung in the Victoria County Jail, and I was in there for over 3 months.
Right, but even there, you were working tirelessly on behalf of the women that you found in there.
Yeah, actually, we did, and even now, out of that jail time, that we've got a really good jail project started, the Texas Jail Project. We even got a website, I think it's texasjailproject.org, and we've went twice to the Texas Commission on Jail Standards, and that's nothing but a bunch of Texas sheriff with carrying guns and big hats, and we went twice there, and we've been to the Dallas County Commissioners speaking out about the jails, because trust me, the system in Texas is broke.
Yeah, well, Texas, it's so interesting. I mean, it's interesting that we had a woman on from Texas last week who's, you know, we're trying to get her a little wilder, Swanee Hunt, and then there's yourself, of course, and Molly Ivins. And Molly Ivins was born in Monterey, California, you know, briefly, then moved to Houston with her family, and her dad was also an oil executive.
Yeah, so she had a lot of interesting background, and for her to go the route she did, because I'm sure it would have been so easy to just launch in some kind of big corporate career where all she had to do was take care of her house and her, you know, and her car, and instead Molly became, matter of fact, she's, you know, and especially not being from Texas, she's like an icon in Texas. She's like, you put her up the same thing with Jim Hightower, and if, you know, they mention her in the same the breath as they do the Alamo, you know. She is one of the stars of Texas. She is. There's a star in Texas. It's Molly.
It is Molly, absolutely. And let me just remind our wonderful allies, too, that we are pledging for Molly Ivins and for all the spirit of all Woofy women that we rededicate to. And you can call, even now while we're cavorting, you can call 1-800-439-5732 or 510-848-5732. I see there, by the powers of telepathic technology, there's one little light there, and I know we're being riveting, but it would be really great to call up now anyway. Again, 1-800-439-5732 or 510-848-5732. You can get Diane's book, An Unreasonable Woman. It is, as Molly Ivins wrote about it, it is a classic, you know, in its writing and its literature and its inspirational woof. Just to hold that book will make you feel like going and being arrested. It's really strong. And so for a pledge of a mere $75, you can have that. And also, we're offering Graham Hancock's fantastic book, Supernatural. Many of you listened to that show twice. Really great. Hardback, $120 pledge. And astrological reading. There's one that I'm offering because, you know, we're all busy. But why not for a perfect skookum woman or guy, for a $1,000 pledge, you know, what the hell. So again, you can call 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-5732. Those are the three things we're offering this week. So that's great. And, Molly Ivins did finally reach you, and you did actually go to her house.
Oh yeah, matter of fact, the thing that is this was like her second bout of cancer. She was having chemotherapy. She had lost all her hair, and I think she was trying to keep some of her events to a minimum because she was feeling so bad from all that chemotherapy. And she invited me to her house, you know, and I was astounded that feeling as bad as she had to have been feeling to take the time. And what she wanted to do was help me get my voice out there. And I remember when I came to her house, which is, believe it or not, it's right across the street from Jim Hightower's house.
Oh, perfect.
And there's so many trees, you can't even really see her house. And I went in there and, you know, I was totally blown away with her trying to figure out ways that I could get my voice out there. And I remember I had on my cowboy boots and I had on my pink, code pink garb. So I was pretty bright. And she said, that'll do real good. She was encouraging me to, you know, to get speaking engagements and talk. And I'm kind of timid about talking, and she said, oh, all you got to do is get out there and shoot the bull. She said, you can shoot the bull, can't you? And I said, well, I don't think I could shoot the bull as good as she could shoot the bull, but...
I think we're all going to be better, you know, again, with the poignancy as we hover on the brink of the poignancy of her death, but I felt such grief, but I also felt really like, no, I'm going to do better. I'm going to get out there more. We're all going to do this. We're going to do it for her.
Yeah, and I think that was the one thing, even at the end, I think the thing she was encouraging is saying, raise more hell, you know.
Well, in talking about her cancer treatment, she said, I've been tortured, mutilated, and poisoned. And she said, I've been on better blind dates than this. again, God love her. The wonderful things, there's so many things. But then she also went on her river trip that you know about, that she told you about, yeah?
Yeah, well, matter of fact, I was talking to her assistant, Betsy Moon, because it was actually Molly and her assistant had came to a retreat we were having in Austin. There was, matter of fact, believe it or not, I don't know if you know this, and this is something you ought to know.
Okay.
There is a hill in Austin where we had that retreat, and for like 20 years, that was the home base to home in UFOs. I mean, there had a circle of lights all the way around that place.
What do you mean?
It was a dedicated group of people were up there and were deliberately seeking UFOs, and they had been up there 20 years and had every night there were lights flashing to bring in the UFOs, because Austin, I don't know whether you know this, but this is common knowledge in Austin that there are UFOs. That's just sad.
Well, that ties us into the Graham Hancock book, for those who've been listening to it, too. We go, okay, Molly Ivins and Supernatural and UFOs and political activism and entheogenic plants and all those things. But also say about the river, because I've got something that she wrote that I want to say. But she loved nature.
Yeah, and she was headed for the river right after that retreat. You know, she came, you know, feeling sick, and she spent the whole time there. And her assistant said she was headed for Snake River, and she was going down a river rafting. And her assistant said, Molly may not come back, but Molly will be happy though.
Right. And the Austin Women's Retreat, that's true. I was hovering on the brink of going, oh, if I'd known she and you were going to be there. Oh, okay. And
it's super. But, she's in rare form, too.
But the going down the river, I think it's also important that, you know, who she just went out with is, a great environmental writer, Dolores LaChapelle, died beautifully with our great ally David Grimes by her side on January 21st. She was the author of Sacred Land, Sacred Sex, Earth Wisdom. She was the feisty matriarch of the deep ecology movement. And when her books were translated into Italian, deep ecology was profundo ecologia. And so she said, right, it's profound ecology. And
yeah.
So it's so interesting that Dolores went out last week, and so we go, oh, it's more poignant, but again, we must be more dedicated.
That's right.
And then, we may all have our favorite pieces, but as I was, you know, laughing and weeping last night, too, I ran across a piece. It's probably about her most trivial subject, but it was some of her most wicked fun writing, in which she drop-kicked Camille Paglia into the richly dark obscurity that she so wonderfully deserves. And there were just some, but it does tie in with nature. She says, just like you would say, Diane, too. She goes, somebody said that she should write about Camille Paglia, and she goes, no, who the hell is that? New York intellectual circles, no, not my thing. I'm not really good on this. And then she said, but her editor said, read Paglia, you'll have an opinion. And she said, so I did, and I do. And she said, Christ, get this woman a Valium, hand her a gin, try meditation, Camille, honey, calm down. The noise is about her oeuvre, as we say in Lubbock. And then she went on, I just have to put a few little bits on because it's too fun. It was my experience also. And she said, Camille Paglia says this thing about Dionysian lust and the crazy violence of nature and all kinds of, you know, and Molly said, au contraire, as we always say in Amarillo. But then she said, this thing about nature, Molly said, right away I got a problem. Happens, I've spent a lot of my life in the wilderness and also a lot of my life in bars. When I want sex and violence, I go to a Texas honky-tonk. When I want peace and quiet, I head for the woods. And it goes on like that. But she really dismissed her and in perfect, you know, for the good of all, really. What we have here, fellow citizens, is a crassly, egocentric, raving twit. And then she goes on like that. But it was just... Oh, it was sometimes
Molly,
we just...
Molly could say it eloquently, whatever she went for.
Oh, we just need
she
that.
Absolutely. And the thing it was is she was, you know, she could be like that, so witty and bright, you know, because I come from this neck of the woods and we don't have a heck of a lot of intellectual talk going on, and she could really just zero in on people. But on the other hand, she could be just a regular old Texas woman, because I remember when I was, the last time I talked with her, she and her brother were getting a degree in cattle at Texas A&M. And as a matter of fact, I believe at one time she was kicked out of Texas. She was banned from Texas A&M, and she had went and got her degree in cattle.
And that was recently, in the last couple of years?
Yeah, she did it probably 2 months before she died.
How interesting. Yeah, right. We go, what a great, I mean, I think so many of us feel like we really knew her. I mean, I got to briefly go, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, in the KPFA lobby, and just keep that in mind, our KPFA team. She loved this station, and she did love the capacity to tell the truth, and she loved independent media. So do call 1-800-439-5732 or 510-848-5732. And I want us to cavort a little more too, and then we'll start pitching seriously on behalf of Molly and the station. But she, you know, again, we need more wickedness because with wickedness fueled by compassion, you know, she said, it's not enough, after the last election, she said, it's not enough for me that the Republicans lost. I just assumed they all had flat tires on the way home from the polls. We go, yeah, okay, I've been entirely too polite. Good heavens, what have I been?
That is true. Now, that is true, Caroline. We are all us women, even those women who think they're liberated in California, we're much too well-behaved.
We have been. We've been entirely too well-behaved. I don't know what. I'm snapping out of it. It's like, no, we're good. Because, again, I'm sure many people have said this, but it bears repeating. Her last published words, she wrote, I mean, there she was dying, and she wrote an article on January 11th that she dictated to, Betsy Moon, her assistant. We are the people who run this country. We are the deciders. And every single day, every single one of us needs to step outside and take some action to help stop this war. Raise hell. Think of something to make the ridiculous look ridiculous. Make our troops know we're for them and trying to get them out of there. Hit the streets to protest Bush's proposed surge. If you can, go to the peace march in Washington. That's where Ann and I were on January 27th. We need people in the streets banging pots and pans and demanding stop it now. So we go, yeah. And then our friend Catherine Austin Fitz chimes in from her specialty too, saying even more effective. I mean, what Molly would, I think, support. Oh, and it would have been so great to introduce them. But she says, you know, as long as we bank at Citibank, you know, we're still, you know, no matter how much we raise, you know, bang the pots and pans in the street, if every American started to withdraw their money and put it into a local bank, boy, would the warmongers take notice. Like, woo!
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know what? I always remember a quote. It was from those two brothers that were priests. They were the, what was their name?
Oh, the Berrigans.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, Daniel Berrigan, what one of his quotes were that I just loved, because he was talking about peace, and he said, the reason why there's no peace is, he says, because there's no peacemakers. And he says, when he's talking about peacemakers, he means those people that are willing to go the same places and take the same risk that those that are waging war. And I mean, they are out there on the line getting themselves killed. And how many really peacemakers are willing to go out there and put their lives out there on the line?
Well,
you know, a lot of them don't want to get arrested.
I've certainly seen you do it, Diane, because one of our great things after we met was so many Code Pink people, including myself, went down to Sea Drift, Texas. Beautiful, 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 poisoned, beautiful Sea Drift, Texas, and watch you scramble like a monkey up the Dow Chemical Towers.
Yeah.
It's like, oh! You know, and watch you get along. I mean, I think this is crucial as we spiral on out. We have a lot of responsibility in this country because we're not in Russia where, you know, Putin would have us all killed. You know, it's not. Now freedom and safety lie in everyone speaking out. And what was crucial, I think, about your work and just seeing you go and in action on your 40-day fast outside the Dow Chemical plant, but is all these good old boys going back and by in their pickup trucks going, yeah, Diane, yeah. You know, and the union guys coming through going, they say that unions and environmentalists don't have anything, but I tell you, Dow Chemical treats their, you know, they treat their workers like they treat the environment, and there's no division between us. We are unified, and Diane helps us see that. It's like,
well, I tell you what, the workers see it too, because I can barely keep my phone answered because of all the workers that call me up now, you know, because they trust you, they believe that you're honest and you go by your word, and I get more phone calls from workers than I get anything.
It's
certainly a lot more media.
Well, yeah, and again, I saw E.O. Wilson yesterday, great Harvard biologist, bless his heart, who wrote a book, Creation, extending his hands to the Christian evangelicals, saying we can argue about evolution later, but now we want to save the Earth, and they're going, yes, we do, and we will unite. You know, and again, that idea that there are no divisions, and I pitched it to him. I said, EO, let's call environmentalists sane, reverent people, and it's this irresistible invitation for everyone to recognize themselves as that. That there's really only maybe 20 really sociopathic, dangerous dementors in the world, but we've given them the power. It's like, oh my God.
That's right.
So here's Molly leading into our pitch, in which we will keep cavorting, but I do, by powers of telepathy, I can now see the board, and it's very quiet. So we want to see the whole thing lit up for Molly Ivins, lit up for Diane Wilson, lit up for Colonel Ann Wright, lit up for this show, lit up for KPFA. So here's Molly pitching to you. So keep fighting for freedom and justice, beloveds, but don't you forget to have fun doing it. Lord, let your laughter ring forth. Be outrageous. Ridicule the fraidy cats. Rejoice in all the oddities that freedom can produce. And when you get through kicking ass and celebrating the sheer joy of a good fight, be sure to tell those who come after how much fun it was.